Mauricio Mingardi, the pastor of Mount Zion Church of the Firstborn. I will be in this recording covering the instruction for water baptism so that you may get as much as possible from this experience that you're going to go through. In this recording, I will cover an introduction topic dealing with different aspects concerning baptism. I will then focus on the meaning of water baptism specifically. Then I will see who can be baptized, why we should be baptized, and finally finish this by looking at how to be baptized. So let's start with some definitions. Going to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and following. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I commanded you, and behold, I am with you all the days until the end of the world. Amen." From this verse we can see that Jesus commanded the disciples to first go, then to teach, and finally to baptize everyone else. So now let's focus on the baptizing. Baptism is an ordinance of the church, and that means it's a commanded celebration or custom with a spiritual symbolic meaning and the potential to impart grace. Now the meaning of baptism comes from baptizo, a Greek word meaning to dip, to immerse. The word was used also to indicate dipping for dyeing of garments and the dipping of a vessel to draw liquid out, and is transliterated in English as baptize. Now, baptism involves three different phases. Number one, total immersion. Phase two, submersion. First three, immersion. So, for baptism to take place, there has to be a total immersion physically as well as spiritually, and we will see what that means in practical terms. Now the Bible talks about five different baptisms in the New Testament. The first one is the baptism of John. If we go to baptism of repentance, if we go to Mark chapter 1 verse 4, we see John came baptizing the wilderness and proclaiming the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then in Luke chapter 3 verse 3, and he came into all the country around Jordan, proclaiming the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the word of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his way straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought down low, and the crooked shall be straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all the flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord." Then he said to the crowd that came forth to be baptized by him, "O generation of vipers, what has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bring forth fruit worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham for our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree that does not bring forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire." The second baptism is the baptism into the body that takes place at regeneration, that means when you are born again. If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, we can read, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For also By one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether bond or free. Even all were made to drink into one Spirit. The third baptism is the water baptism, or baptism unto Jesus. We can see, for example, in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38, when Peter was preaching to the multitude in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and they were touched by his preaching. It says here, verse 37 of Acts chapter 2, and hearing this, they were stabbed in their hearts, and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Men, brothers, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ to the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This is the baptism we will concentrate in this recording, and we will understand why and what it means to be baptized into Jesus Christ. The fourth baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or baptism of power. We can see that in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "And having met with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait the promise of the Father, which you heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Then in verse 8, "But you shall receive power, the Holy Spirit coming upon you, and you shall be witness to me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, and to the end of the earth." The fifth baptism is the baptism of fire, or purification. We can see that in Luke chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Luke 3:16 says, "John answered on, saying, I will indeed baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I comes, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to loose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his storehouse, but he will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire." To summarize, the first two baptisms, the baptism of John and the baptism of the body, involves the first repentance, the second faith, and they are conducted by the Holy Spirit. The results of them combined is the new birth. The water baptism is done for people that have been born again, that they have new birth, is conducted by man, and involves the separation from sin. Finally, the other baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is done by Jesus, and involves the development of the power gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These three witnesses are required for the ongoing process of salvation, for us to be conformed into the image of Jesus, as is described in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. In this scripture, we see that there are three witnesses on earth: the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit that witnessed to us the reality of what is taking place and give us the power to manifest the changes in us and in our lives; the water, which washes us, and the water is always corresponding to the Word of God, to help us to clean our life; and finally, the third one is the blood, which is the blood of Jesus. Now, the blood has to do with regeneration, the process by which we become a new creature and we are born again. If you go, for example, in Hebrew chapter 9, verse 22, we can see, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission." Then in 1 Peter 1:18-19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, silver or gold, from your vain manners of life handed down from your fathers, but you were by the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without perish and without spot. Then in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. Now you can see that the blood of Jesus has a central role in your regeneration, in your process by which you become born again in a new creature. The second witness, the water, has to do with cleansing, and correspond to the Word of God, as I said before. If we go, for example, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, says that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Again, in 1 Peter 3:21, starting from the end of the verse before, that is, 8 souls were saved through water, which figure now also save us in baptism, not putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Christ. So the washing of the water has to do with the work that the truth in the Word of God, direction in the Word of God, does in our life to cleanse our lives and to prepare us for what God has for us. Finally, the third witness, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, give us the power to overcome in our life sin and all the hindrances for us to be the people that God wants us to be. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, is none of his. And if Christ is in you, indeed, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised up Christ from the dead shall also make your mortal bodies alive by his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brothers, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, mortify the deed of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. These witnesses were also present in the Old Testament, just as are in the New Testament. For example, the three steps that they involve is the first one, the sacrifice at the altar, in Exodus chapter 40, verse 6 and 29, corresponding to the blood. The washing to the laver, corresponding to the water, in Exodus chapter 40, verse 12 and 13 to 33. And finally, the anointing with oil in Exodus 40:13-15, which corresponds to the oil of the Holy Spirit. A final point I want to make concerning this introduction is the baptism into the body. This baptism always precedes water baptism. We mentioned that the scripture referring to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. Now, this baptism into the body involves two aspects. First is being born again. If we repent, confess our sins, turn from going our own way, and appropriate the atoning work of the cross, and decide to submit ourselves to Jesus, then something takes place that is very important in our life. In 1 in Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 and says, "For he has delivered us from the power of darkness and he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." So when that takes place, we are translated into God's kingdom, Jesus' kingdom, and we start belonging to the family of God. This implies a complete immersion into the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13 says, "But also by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether bond or free, even all we are made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Then, if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, says that, "But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as it has pleased them." So it's God that places us into the body of Christ, into the church, the way it's pleasing him, and we have to participate, take our place into the body of Christ to be able to fully be part of it. True fellowship into the body is essential. You should be part of a local body, not an independent Christian. Otherwise, you are not submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 12, verse 5 says, "For even as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we are the many are one body in Christ, and each member of one another. Then having gift differing according to the grace given to us, we operate them."